Chaitanya Bhagavat, January 31st, 2012, Auntie Leela, Chapter 5, verse 743. We're going to hear more wonderful glories about the devotees, and sometimes when we do something repeatedly, anything in the nature of our minds is they become our mundane material minds due to lack of ruchi and being severely contaminated by anarthas. Trapped in the anartha nivritti stage and struggling for nishchita bhakti, we often find boredom with repetition of devotional practices. They say the satiation point of the mind. The mundane mind has its principle of satiation. You can only, like some people, you meet them and they live by the airport in a very smelly city. In New Jersey, there's one airport, Newark. N-E-W-A-R-K, Newark. And it's and right next to the airport, there's oil refineries right on the freeway. It's unbelievable, a whole strip of them, and they're just bellowing out all kinds of polluting smokes. And sultry summer days, the atmosphere is stifling. Unbelievably suffocating. And you meet some, I met some person there preaching to one time, life member Indian. And I was on my way to New York, and I said, stop in, so I did. And I couldn't breathe. And I met them. I said, how do you live here, right next to the airport, next to the refinery? He said, I work in a refinery. This is the housing they provide. They do like that, the factories. And I thought, God, it's so terrible. I can't, I need an oxygen mask. And I said, how do you, he said, you get used to it. That's called satiation point. Intolerable atmosphere where there's practically no oxygen, but he's living there. God knows what his lungs look like. So our minds get satiated, so we hear the glories of the Vaishnavas over several classes in this Chaitanya Bhagavat. And we think, oh no, here we go again. Do we have to hear these again? Because we have no ruchi. We can't. And we chant the name, and oftentimes it becomes sing song type of holy name. Mind wanders and flickers here and there. Can't stay fixed on the sweet vibration of the holy name. Well, we should understand with our intelligence that our ears are hearing the most fortunate topics of any living entity in the entire world. People are very attuned to hearing the electronic sounds of various computer games. They play an infinite number of computer games with various lingos and jingos and bing, ding, bong, dong, ding. So many electronic sounds, and they think it's sweet, continuous stream of nectar to their ears. They never become satiated with the mundane bing, bang, bing sounds of computer games. What I've ever observed some children playing, I thought, this is absurd. So we can think, if our response to classes like this, hearing the glories of the Vaishnavas is rather, oh, hum-ho, here we go. Then we have to think about the position of our devotional creed for how far it's reached up into the sky of Krishna Prema, or the spiritual sky, as it reaches up through the higher stages or floors, first floor, second floor, third floor. This skyscraper, or skyscraper, as Prabhupada said when he went to New York. Scrap in America is some junk. Saman. Bekar, I mean, no, useless. How do you say? Faltu Saman, some useless article, or rejected old broken thing. Scrapper. Probably deliberately pronounced as skyscraper. Yeah, it looks like some junky pigeonhole pinching the sky with its spires above the Empire State Building. Proudly proclaiming its one-time eminence as the Empire State Building. It was so wonderful that Bin Laden didn't even consider it worth wasting a jet plane on. He wasted two on the Trade Center. He thought that was a good investment. If they were a little taller. At any rate, this is Udanarandat Thakur. He was a gold merchant, and he was dealing in the Gauranga gold, the Gauranga Avatar, Vajra Gauranga Kaha Gauranga Loha Gauranga Namare. And he was a great devotee, and he's one of the Dwadasa Gopals of Nityananda. He's a beautiful Kishore, young 12, 13 year old Brahmin, frolicking and playing with Sridham and Subal and Sudham and Vasudham and Kinkini and Gobhatta and Mandali Bhadra and all the wonderful coward boys as they fromp and frolic and stomp and jump, and the pasture grows of Vrindavan. So his description here is that he was a great magnanimous Vaishnava. Udarana Datta Maha Vaishnava Udhar Nityananda Sevaya Janhara Adhikar. Translation, he was a Maha Vaishnava Udhar. Three adjectives. Two adjectives to describe his Vaishnava status. Great a Maha Vaishnava and an Udhara Vaishnava. He was qualified for the service of Nityananda. Nityananda Sevaya Adhikar. Seva Adhikar. Sounds familiar? Neva Dhanadaro. Nevedan. Nevedan means petition. Nevedan. Sometimes I say I like to give you. How do you say invitation? Nirmantra?
Nirmantra.
Nevedan. Nevedan is what?
Petition.
So someone may approach you and say, I have one Nevedan from you. I have one request. So he was Nityananda Sevaya Janhara Adhikara. He had the Adhikara, as we say, A Nevedana Nevedana, or A Nevedana. It's sung in a way that's not the way people pronounce it in Hindi. A Nevedana Daro Nevedan. In Hindi, it's A Nevedan. A Nevedan. It doesn't work in Bengali. It may be a different pronunciation. Seva Adhikara Diye Koro Nishadasi. Diye, give me the Adhikara qualification and power and ability and purity and love and attachment and feelings to be your Sevadasi Manjari Sakhi in Vrindavan. So that's our petition with Brinda Devi. So he had the Seva Adhikara. He wasn't petitioning Nityananda, he had it. And what was his qualification? Because someone says, oh, you want to get this job in my firm or my factory, then what is your qualification? Oh, I have this degree and that degree. So then someone applies to Nityananda's School of Mercy, and they say, what is your qualification? What is your Adhikara? Oh, you don't know. I'm Udar. I'll try, you're Udar. Yes. So Udar means that you're interested in helping others. You're a Goshtinandi. You're a welfare worker. You have a Udar. Like Damodara, you've heard? You have a big belly. Udara, Damodara. Damodara. Udara means belly. So somewhat belly is very symbolic, because belly, you can feed your belly and feed other people's bellies if you have a big heart. If you have a big heart, you can have a big belly. In other words, if you have a big devotional, compassionate heart, then your belly will be big also, to fit so many devotees in there and preaching. So he was Udara, he was Maha Udara, and he was a Maha Vaishnava. He was greatly merciful and compassionate for others. He wanted to preach to them and benefit them and give charity and use his gold and his wealth and his devotional talents and purity to preach and elevate the conditioned souls as part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan army. And he was this magnanimity, and then he was Maha, he was great. So he was a great Vaishnava, or he is a great Vaishnava, because of his Udara, his compassionate outreach consciousness and merciful activities to benedict and uplift others, the fallen conditioned souls, as it said. So he was Maha Vaishnava. But there can be someone else, is Mahavaishnav Udar, and he's not a Goshtinandi, he's Bhajanandi. But he can also be a Mahavaishnav, a Smaraniya, a Mahavaishnav let's say, instead of Udar, you could say he's Dhyani, or whatever. He spends his time in meditation, but he's also a great Vaishnava. So bhajanandis that do introspective, solitary bhajan, nirjan, alone bhajan, simply to relish their relationship with Krishna and attain that fully without any distractions or, let's say, dilution of their energy by helping others, they can also be Mahavaishnavas. So Udharandatta was a married person, he had a family and a business, and he was a very charitable, wonderful devotee. So from him we see that if we have this mood of compassion, Nityananda, this is, if you want to get enrolled in Nityananda's mercy school, as we gave that analogy, his mercy school, there's some adhikar, some qualification to get into that school, requirements, and one of them is that you want to preach, you want to benefit others, because this is the mood of Lord Chaitanya. The general thrust of his movement, he wasn't going around telling everyone to do nirjan bhajan. This is kind of a wave that, you know, that was developed, emphasizing the followers of, let's say, Das Goswami, or the example of Das Goswami as being the primary focus for a large number of Vaishnavas to do bhajan and manasi seva. And maybe that was considerably more practical 500 years ago, or 400, or 300, 200. But the majority of Lord Chaitanya's presentation was, I would say, was twofold. It was, of course, preaching, and it was also Ragmarg, Vrindavan. But he was preaching Raghunuga Bhakti, and that was his preaching. And he was preaching Panchanga Bhakti, which is the essence of Raghunuga Bhakti, the essence of devotion. And any of the followers, although they may take up positions as brahmacharis or sannyasis, or itinerant preachers and mendicants as sannyasis, or Goshyanandi preachers, jagat gurus, etc., they're also preaching Raghunuga Bhakti because they're emphasizing Raghunuga Bhakti, the Panchanga Bhakti, and in fact they're even instituting it in their missions. Prabhupada was the first to actually institute. Prabhupada was the first Gaudiya Vaishnava to have a preaching mission which was based on Panchanga Bhakti in an institutional way. The bhajanandis, that's a very eclectic, do your own thing line of action. That if you want to do smaran all day, you do smaran. You want to do kirtan, you do kirtan. You want to read shastra. And generally they don't have any what we call quote-unquote morning program of some institution. They have their individual bhajans and programs. But Prabhupada, even unlike some of his predecessor or sister Gaudiya movements, who don't today or didn't, at least until Prabhupada's influence became more prominent, they didn't have a daily Bhagavatam class. The general Gaudiya Math bhajan was to wake up, have bhajans before Mangalartik, then Mangalartik and more bhajans till sunrise, and then do your seva in the temple, read a little bit, have prasadam, and do begging alms, etc., and chanting japa here and there as you could fit in. But it wasn't part of their daily program. Their daily program basically was... So that was appreciated by Srila Prabhupada's... people appreciated Srila Prabhupada's movement for that, that it was so structured. Worshipping Tulsi and the prayer that we use, this particular prayer we use is by Siddha Krishnadas. Siddha Krishnadas, he wrote many bhajan manuals for Babaji's practicing Raghunuga Bhakti. And it says this very faunal, lowly servant of Krishna prays Dina Krishna. So people think they think it's a generic fallen Krishnadas, which I've often told this point before. It's nothing new, but maybe you haven't heard. But it's actually, that was him. It was Siddha Krishnadas of Govardhan who wrote Bhavanasara Sangraha and Gutika, which is Asakali Lila Lord Gauranga, and many other books that are not anywhere in English as far as I know, but are quite a small and interesting books of meditation and guides for Ragmarg, Bhakti. some collections of sadhana, some collections of appropriate astakams and bhajans. He has one bhajan book, many wonderful books. So there again, Prabhupada's specific selection of a Tulsi bhajan. So this is the nature of the Vaishnavas. Mahesha Pandit Ati Parama Mahanta Paramananda Upadhyaya Vaishnava Ekanta. Mahesha Pandit was the most exalted devotee. Paramananda Upadhyaya was an unalloyed devotee. So two devotees are collected or clubbed together here. Mahesha Pandit and Paramananda Upadhyaya. Again, Upadhyaya is another term to describe a Brahmin, I think coming from a particular region or gotra. And Mahesha Pandit is another one. So Mahesha Pandit, he was Ati Parama Mahanta. He was a Mahanta. Again, we discussed that before. Possibly he had a mandir and a temple, and he was in charge of an ashram and a whole temple. He was also great, but not just Maha, but he was Parama, not just Parama, but Ati Parama. So I guess it's a way of saying great, greater, and greatest. We say that Dwarkadish Krishna is great, and Mathura Nath Krishna is greater, and Vrindavan Krishna is the greatest. Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatam. So Purnatam Bhagavan is none other than Damodar, Govinda Damodar Madhava. He's the topper. He's the topmost form of Godhead. So we can understand, although we don't have much information here other than three words, that he was Ati Parama Mahanta. Ati means excessively exalted, transcendental, wonderful, amazing. And Mahanta, he was the end of all great Mahajans and great devotees. He was the ultimate end, Anta. The highest expression of the exceedingly transcendental, glorious devotee. And then we have Paramananda Upadhyaya. He was a Vaishnava Ekanta. So this is, of course, what Krishna is talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. He talks about this type of devotee is the one who's dear to him, and this is the type of devotee he reveals the secrets of love in his heart, and this is the type of devotee that Krishna takes all the bad out of his life. That Ekanta Bhakta is often mentioned in Gita and glorified by the Lord himself. And several verses, and one I believe is in 9th chapter, it says, Ananyas chintiyantamam ye jana prayupashate teshan nityava yuktanam yogakshimam vahamyam. So this is Ananya. Ananya Bhakta. Ananya Chinta. Ananya Chinta means Ananya Bhakta. It's those who worship me with exclusive devotion. So when you say someone like Paramananda Upadhyaya was a Kanta Vaishnava. Another way of saying a Kanta Vaishnava is to say Ananya Chinta. He was Ananya Bhakta. This phrase is a Kanta Vaishnava or Ananya Bhakta. Vaishnava is a Bhakta. And Ananya is the same as Ekanta. Ananya means no other but one. You're the one. And Ekanta means no other one. You're the only one. Ek. So here Krishna says if he's an Ananya Bhakta, then he does everything for them. They come with $8 and 600 Bhagavatams and a wish to start an international movement. So Krishna says, all right, take $800 million and take 300 million books. Flood the world with your mercy mission of ISKCON. It preserves what you have and carries what you lack. So Prabhupada always had the ability to preach and spread the message of Krishna consciousness, and it never left him. Even at his older age, he was fully conscious and expert in delivering Krishna consciousness, supported by so many Sanskrit shlokas and analogies and various experiences from his own exalted life. And then there's other verses, Sarvadharman Pratyaj, it says, Tesham Sarata Yuktanam Bhajatam Pratipuravagam Dadami Buddhi Yoga. So he says, Tesham Sarata Yuktanam, Sarata Sat Yukta. Yukta means eternally joined and linked only with God. Such a person gets devotional intelligence and ability to love. He learns the secret of love. Krishna reveals the secret of love from in his heart because he's a nitya abhyukta. He's eternally connected with Krishna, no one else. And then in 18th chapter, Krishna says, Sarvadharman pratyaja mam ekam sharanam, ekasharanam, sharana. One can only have one shelter and one support if he's an ekanta bhakta, ekanta vaishnava, ananya bhakta. And if one is like that, as I mentioned a minute ago, then Krishna takes away all the bad. Takes all the way, all the anomalies and anarthas and avidya and aparads from his heart, and which takes its shape in various subtle and gross sins. Aparabdha karma, prabdha karma, kutam bijam. Sin in all its stages are completely obliterated and removed by karmani nirhati kintucha bhakti bhajan. Karmani nirhati kintucha bhakti bhajan, that ananya bhakti bhajan, that ekanta bhakti bhajan. And this is, of course, occurs at the level of bhava. Anishta is where we're trying to refine all of our interests into one ishta. Nishta. We're trying to refine all of our interests into one. And when Prabhupada talks about the word selfish, he says they don't know what the self is. Selfish. People are selfish. So they can be selfish if they find out the self ish. Who is the ish of the self? We've said this before too. It's not nothing, no new cleverness here. Selfish means one who is totally occupied with he's totally occupied his self in worship of ish. So he's also an ekanta bhakta. A selfish bhakta is an ekanta bhakta. Self-ish. His self is merged in the ish, in the supreme controller. His self is dedicated, surrendered, engaged fully 24/7 in the service of Ishvara. Self-Ishvara Paramakrishna. Self-Atma, Ish, Paramatma, Parameshvara Sri Krishna. Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchitananda Vigraha. This was Paramananda Upadhyaya. Vaishnava Ekanta, an unalloyed Vaishnava. That's, we want to come to that point, and with the mercy of such Vaishnavas, it's possible. Without Vaishnava Kripa, nothing's possible. It's interesting to know that this phrase that became popular, quite popular at ISKCON, especially in the pioneering days of preaching and establishing centers in, around the world, the devotees live by this motto. They breathe this motto. This was their necklace around their neck. Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So when Prabhupada one day casually remarked in San Francisco to Mukunda and his wife Janaki, Jamuna's younger sister, why don't you all go to London and open a center? Prabhupada, we don't even have money for the rent here in the storefront. How will we go? Anyway, you think about it. Actually, this phrase was first coined by Napoleon, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati has used it a few times, and he quoted the origin of this phrase himself in his harmonist, as Napoleon said. So this is also our watchword in Gaudiya Math, which Prabhupada was really so much transparent representative of his Guru Maharaj and all of his phrases, this whole that address on the Hare Krishna album, the Transcendental Autocrat, there's an address with the Maha Mantra, the Transcendental Autocrat cannot stretch to the farthest regions. This mantra is beyond the sensual, mental, intellectual plane it descends. That's a purport of Bhakti Siddhanta to the Brahma Samhita, verse 1. And Prabhupada simply read it from the book onto a tape in New York one day. So, and I remember when we used to hear that over and over again in my earplugs on Sankirtan. At one time I had it memorized, I could say the whole thing. It's beyond, even a dog can chant, or even a child and dog. And it just goes in so many levels of this transcendental sound vibration. It's beyond range and of thought, mind, and intelligence. Do you remember this? I haven't seen it in a while. So these are great devotees. Mahesh Pandit and Paramananda Upadhyaya. So what have we heard so far? That we've heard about great devotees. Well, great devotees are very compassionate and they preach Udar work. And they have, because they're so compassionate and interested, then they get a place and they attain a qualification to enter the heart of Nityananda. Unless you enter someone's heart, you can't really serve them. You won't know how. You won't know what they like unless you enter their heart. And even if you learn how to what they like, you won't serve with love. It's not what you do that counts, it's how you do it. So it's the bhav, the backing, the love, the presentation. So it's all part and parcel of what we call loving service. To know what Krishna wants and serve him with anukulya, favorable intentions and loving sentiments and feelings, with intensely pure and sincere desire to render happiness and pleasure to Krishna. Anukalyana Krishna no Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. We do so many things. Shilanam means so many things. Krishna likes this, Krishna likes that. But where's the anukulya? The favorable mind and the loving mind and submissive, attentive mind to every detail. The TLC and tender loving care. So that separates one man's service from another. It separates service from devotional service. So he was Nityananda Sevaya Adhikar. He had that Adhikar to serve Nityananda. He was qualified for the service of Nityananda. Well, we certainly want to attain the service of Nityananda. Because Nityananda, who is Nityananda? Whether you're a Vaidhi Sadaka or whether you're Raghunuga Sadaka, you certainly want the service of Nityananda. No doubt. And Nityananda's Shakti is Janava. She's expanded from his Ladini Shakti. And Nityananda's Balaram, and expanding from Balaram's Ladini Shakti is Ananga Manjari. So if you're a Raghunuga Bhakta and the Rag Marg and Nityananda Parivar is Sampradaya, then you'll want to be very much attuned to Janava Mata and her Manjari form as Ananga and her Sakhi Manjari form as Ananga Manjari. So how will you get the Adhikar to serve her without Nitya's mercy? Impossible. Or you want to be a Udar, a Pracharak, or a Gostyanandi, and spread the banner of Krishna consciousness and Gauranga Sankirtan movement far and wide. And how will you do it if you're not accepted by Nityananda, empowered by his Namhat mission? He's the empowerment. So then you have to have Adhikar, so you get the Adhikar. So we pray to personalities like Udarana Dutt, that you're a Mahavaishnava and Seva Adhikar, you're a Seva Adhikara. So make me a Kripa Patra of yours. Make me a recipient of your mercy. And let your Udar work start with me. Let your liberation movement, preaching and compassionate expression begin with me. I'm petitioning your lotus feet, O Udarana Dutt. His very name is Udar. Of course, it's double D here, Udharan. So it's a different word, but it sounds very similar. It's Udharana. Udharana Dutta. And he was Udar, Mahavaishnava Udar, Nityananda Seva Adhikar. So either way, whether we preach and do Udar work, or we do bhajan and internal practices of Manasi Seva and Rag Marg, still we want the Adhikar we need and require the Adhikar to serve Nityananda in order to attain perfection in either line of devotion. So we pray to Udharana Dutt. So let's repeat his name. Udharana Dutt ki.
Udharana Dutt ki.
Jai. And Mahesh Pandit, he was Ati Parama Mahanta. And Paramananda Upadhyaya was Vaishnava Kanta, which we discussed, and we can recall those points. Mahesh Pandit ki. Jai.
Mahesh Pandit ki. Jai.
Paramananda Upadhyaya.
Paramananda Upadhyaya
Ki Jai. Chaturbhuja Pandita Nandana Gangadas Purve Janra Ghare Nitya Nandera Vilas. Gangadas was the son of Chaturbhuj Pandit. Of course, his full name is Gangadas Pandit. Gangadas Pandit was the son of Chaturbhuj Pandit. Nityananda had previously stayed in his house. Do any of the devotees know anything about Gangadas? Who taught Lord Chaitanya Vyakaran in Sanskrit? Gangadas. And when Lord Chaitanya started explaining to his students, a Nimai Pandit, before, I don't know, I think it was after he was initiated, I believe, he came back to his toll, his Sanskrit academy on the bank of the Ganga. I had a collection of young pundits like himself. And he was teaching them Vyakaran and Naya, I suppose, especially Vyakaran and Naya, logic and grammar. And he started to explain the Akshara and Matras, the vowels and syllables of Sanskrit grammar, by saying everything is Krishna. And when some student asked him a question, can you explain that the mool and the dhatus, the root and the element, elemental construction of the various Sanskrit words, mool and dhatu, he started to answer in a very, almost like riddles in a clever way, by saying the root of everything is Krishna, and the dhatus means elements. And not, it wasn't dhatu, the pancha dhatu means earth, water, fire, air, ether. D-H-A-T, dhatu means minerals, elements, molecules, rocks, whatever. So he started explaining about creation and the mool and the basis of all creation is Vishnu and Krishna. And da-da-da means da-da-da, dhamadara. And ha-ha-ha, hari. And he ended every class, everything ended up in Nam Sankirtan and names of hari. Hari and Madhav and Yadav. And the students complained and they went to Gangadas and they said, listen, we enrolled in this Sanskrit academy and he's simply bending us all around upside down and turning everything into Krishna, preaching Krishna consciousness undercover in the Sanskrit academy, trying to start a bhakti yoga course to introduce chanting Hare Krishna on the campus, but you bill it as bhakti yoga, which is not yoga at all. It's loving God. It's not some Mayavadi yoga. It's all about glorifying the name of God and doing everything to please Him and love Him. Of course, that's yoga also. Yoginam abhisarvesham yat gatinatratama. Anyway, it was a little bit of clever ploy we used to enter the mainstream of colleges around the world. We're going to teach bhakti yoga, meditation courses. So Gangadas, the students complained to him and said, listen, your student, Nimai Pandit, is going haywire. And his preaching is alta, upside down. So then they arranged a meeting, and Gangadas spoke very seriously and fatherly in a very commanding and requesting voice to Nimai. He said, Nimai, I trained you so nicely. You were my primary student, my wonderful student. And you were teaching so wonderfully. The students were, your Tola was famous in all of Navadvipa as turning out the best and most brilliant erudite students. And now I heard that you're after coming back from Gaya, now you're seeing everything as Krishna and crying. Please, can you reform yourself and return to your previous teaching? And so he did. And then he would take a group of students and go door to door and visit various pandits' house, different pandits in Navadvipa, door to door with a group of students, to have online, let's say, field work rather than classroom techniques. It was practical demonstration of the Sanskrit knowledge of Naya and Vyakaran, and grammar and logic. So he would knock on the doors very belligerently and challengingly to different pundits, famous senior pundits in Mahavadvipa, and say, hello, I'm Nimai Pandit, these are my students. We'd like to come and discuss Sanskrit with you. And he would challenge them to a debate and he would just make mincemeat out of them. He would just grind them up into powder. And all the students were very impressed and very excited how their their champion teacher, Nimai Pandit, was defeating everyone left, right, and center, like Bruce Lee, mowing down 50 gundas at a time with a kick and a jab and a chop and a punch and a spin and a twirl and a jump. He was expert at this type of fancy dancing. Looked more like a dance than karate. If you ever see films of him, he's kind of a dramatic person. He's just a spark of Krishna's splendor. Imagine what Krishna looked like when he was dancing on the heads of Kaliya. Made Tanava Nirti look like the waltz. Shiva's Tanava Nirti looked like a Victorian waltz of the queen and her prince and king and queen. Waltzing Matilda. So Gangadas, he was the son of Shatrubhuj, and his notoriety was his Gauri. Previously, Purve Gauri, Nityananda Vilas, Nityananda went and had pastimes there, which are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, Chapter 11, and Bhakti Siddhanta's purport, text 43. Acharya Vaishnava Ananda Parama Udhar Purve Raghunatha Puri Nama Kyati Dhanra. Acharya Vaishnava Ananda was most magnanimous. He was formerly known as Raghunath Puri, not to be confused with Ramchandra Puri, who is a little bit interesting personality. And after all, who is he in Krishna Leela? He's Jatila. So we can expect him to be a little bit Jatila-like. He was a little Jatila-like in Gaur Leela. He would come and give all kinds of sweets to the Vaishnavas, Vailatsa Krishna Balar Mahaprasad. And distributed sweets to all the leading Vaishnavas and sannyasis. And then when they would honor them and then distribute them, and there was a few drops of rasgulla juice would fall on the stone floors of their kutis and puri, and then a million ants would fly out of somewhere and have a big gorge on that Mahaprasad bindu. And then he would come back and say, "Oh, what is this? You're a vairagi? Sadhu? Sannyasi? Ah, bekar! Fake! Look!" With a very screwed up little, you know, face and lip, nose all bent funnily and a real harsh voice, pointing and jumping up and down and panting and breathing heavily. I'm reporting this. This is, you're a fake. You're a cheater in the garb of a sannyasi. You're just sitting around eating sweets all day. Look, here's the proof, the evidence, answer crawling over the place. And he even victimized Lord Chaitanya with the same trick. Then Lord Chaitanya started a fast as a response to his name being slighted by this Jatila. I mean, sometimes Jatila, Ramchandra Puri, Jatila would try to slight Krishna's name, but you don't hear him fasting. He wouldn't fast. He'd rather decorate him, disguise himself as Abhimanyu and enter right into Jatila's house and right under her nose. Why, she's on the roof. Underneath the roof. She's on the roof. And right underneath the roof of that very room under the roof, Abhimanyu, who is Krishna disguised as her son, is enjoying for 3 hours her daughter-in-law, Radhika. Exactly on the roof. And she and Kutila are patrolling up and down the roof looking for their son, who they were alerted to by Krishna saying, "Oh, that rake, that rascal, that wretched black snake, that Krishna has disguised himself as me, and he's coming soon behind me. He'll try to enter the house and defile my wife. Jatila, Kutila, you pace up and down the roof and get plenty of clumps of dirt," what we call dirt bombs. Proper name is dirt bombs. "Get plenty of clumps of dirt and rocks, and you patrol. As soon as you see that rascal Krishna disguised as Abhimanyu, you start pelting him with rocks and hurling and aspersions and rebuking him with various interesting words." So that's what happened. He was pelted with a barrage of dirt bombs and stones and foul language by his mother and daughter, sister. And he thought they were cracked. He said, "What are they doing? They've been walking up and down the roof. The sun got to them. They're acting really ridiculous. So I have to go outside of town where all the tantrics and yogis live out in the forest and bring a tantric here to take care of my mother and sister Kutila." So we don't find Krishna fasting because of the ill talk of Jatil in the village, or accusations or insinuations of his misdeeds with her daughter-in-law. But Gauranga, when Jatila came as Ramchandra Puri and Gauralila and Puri, then Lord Chaitanya responded by he didn't want the sannyas order to be slightly defamed by this imposter, Ramchandra Puri. But this is not him. This is Raghunath Puri. And that was his previous name. When Purve Raghunatha Puri, in other words, in his previous ashram, or he was known as Raghunath Puri, but he's initiated, or now he's a sannyasi, it's hard to say. He's a Acharya Vaishnava Ananda. So his particular speciality was Parama Udara. He's very magnanimous. And obviously, magnanimous means he was a preacher, and he's being an Acharya means that you're particularly interested in convincing people by your sound vibration and your behavior. Achar and Prachar. The perfect blend of Achar, behavior, and Prachar, transcendental sound vibration, makes the ideal Vaishnavacharya. So he was Acharya Vaishnavananda. Not only was he expert in delivering the sublime message of Shuddha Krishna Bhakti, but he's also a very particular and neat and clean and exacting Vaishnava in all his dealings and behaviors. And to top it off, he was blissful. He wasn't a dry, dry rules and regulations man. Sometimes people that follow the very many rules and regulations, they become a little stiff like a military sergeant, or let's say lieutenant. And they're not very blissful. They're so busy, absorbed in their yamas and niyamas of precise and expert behavior, they become a little cold. A little too tightly wound. And then he was a wonderful personality. Acharya Vaishnavananda ki. Bolo.
Acharya Vaishnavananda ki. Jai.
So this is Chaitanya Bhagavat, and we'll hear about Paramananda Gupta tomorrow, on Wednesday, hopefully by the mercy of Vrindavan Das Thakur.